What is one thing you wish you could change about the first year of our relationship?
I feel like I should have had a cleaner transition between John and you. John was still in my life and he actually had the keys to my house. There was a situation where John came over when I asked him 3 separate times to not come over.
R-O-T-E, let me present to you the Rotten Podcast. The Rotten Podcast.
How do you want me to say it?
Rotten.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys. Good morning. Welcome back to the Rotten Podcast. We're on episode 35.
Wow. Here we are. It's a special episode today.
It's a special episode. Also, like a weird, weird week for me, at least. I would say 2 people that are close to me are hospitalized right now, and it just feels really weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't want to say names just to like protect their privacy, because the last thing I want to do is, you know, talk about them and they don't want to be talked about. But one of my good friends knew him all throughout college. He is the definition of a tall man who is also very lean. And he just got a spontaneous lung collapse. I don't know if he got, but it happened to him. So he just...
His lung spontaneously collapsed.
Yes. And I remember the second his brother told me, I freaked out, because I actually had seen a TikTok about this, where a girl who is tall and skinny had a lung collapse. And apparently it's very, very common if you're tall and skinny. And they don't know why. I looked up all the causes. I looked up the effects. There's nothing out there to explain why this happens. And when she was explaining her situation and her surgery, she said she felt like she was dying after she got her surgery, because what they do to uncollapse the lung or stretch out the lung back to its normal size, because what happens is that your lung goes from like 8 inches or whatever the height, and it like just falls, it like unattaches itself to your skin.
It's so scary that that can happen without any cause and just randomly collapse.
Yes. And what's scarier is the surgery is disgusting. What they do is they literally grab a scrub, like a scrub daddy, and they scrub your lung.
Ugh.
And then the skin that is supposed to attach to your lung, they scrub it until it's so raw and inflamed, and it causes little pockets that when they put together the lung and the chest cavity, it bubbles up and like, you know, reattaches itself. Because as of now, it's so smooth that it collapses. And so when she woke up from her surgery, she said it was the worst pain she's ever been in. She looked at her nurse and she was like, is this what death feels like? And the nurse was crying for her, because she knows that this is considered one of the most painful surgeries you can ever get. Because
yeah, she was saying like, I feel like I've been tortured. Like I mm-hmm. know what torture feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And also she said it feels like a rug burn. Like the worst rug burn on the inside of her body.
Yeah.
On her organs.
Because they literally give it a rug burn.
That's insane.
It's so crazy. Bad.
So yeah, we went to the hospital right after you found out.
Yes.
And we visited him. Luckily, mm-hmm. he was doing okay. I mean, he had a tube hooked up to his lung and he was in severe pain. Like it's hard to talk. It's hard to breathe, take deep breaths. But he was doing okay. And then we found out today that he has to get the surgery done, which is really painful and unfortunate that it wasn't able to reconnect
by itself.
Yeah, it's so scary.
I don't know, it put me in a really weird mood for like 24 hours, just because he's very healthy, and it made me realize that, you know, like, life is so precious. I don't see him and his brother enough. Him and his brother and I were really, really good friends in college, and we probably only see each other once a year, either at Coachella or one of their birthdays or our engagement party we saw them. So it's not something we see them, we don't see them continuously, and I was like, I really want to start reaching out to them and see them more often, because we used to be such good friends, and over the last few years, life has just taken its own path from one another. We've kind of split ways, but I still consider them one of my best friends. Every time I see them, it's like no time has passed, but it just made me realize that, like, time is short. So when I got home, I like started cuddling Zoe for 30 minutes because I like, I don't know, I just feel bad because I think, you know, out of the four of us in our family, sadly, the next person to probably leave us, even including Shark, would be Zoe, because cats live forever till they're 20. And just, I hate looking it up, but, you know, French bulldogs only live till like 12, and she's at 6. So she's got
half of her life left.
I'm going to cry if I think about it too much.
Don't cry.
I don't want to cry. Okay. I can't think about it. But yeah, so after we got home from seeing, you know, my friend, I just held Zoe for like a really long time, and I was like really sad.
It really puts into perspective how short life is.
Mm-hmm.
And even Bronny James, who went into cardiac arrest, he's super healthy, 18-year-old. LeBron James' son, who's just starting at USC for basketball. He's one of the top recruits in the country.
Do you think it's because he's LeBron James' son, or is he really that good?
He's really that good.
Okay.
I'm sure it's a little mix of both. I mean, I haven't seen too much, but he's really good. He's been training his whole life. I mean, when you have a dad that's at that level and you get exposed to that level of practice, getting the right coaches at a young age, being in those elite leagues, you develop really quickly and far superior past the average basketball player. So yeah, I think he probably is that good.
That's good.
But yeah, it's shocked everybody. Like,
is his career over? Because I would think that after you have a heart attack, college basketball coaches and NBA coaches are gonna be like, no, like, we're done with you.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he's just going to stop after that. It might have been just like a freak.
I mean, that's crazy.
Situation. Yeah. It's happened more and more.
So I have a family member of mine that is having heart issues right now. And he's also very healthy. And so it's just like, why are like these healthy men in my life having stuff wrong with them? And I know you kind of had like a little heart scare as well. But I don't know.
I remember going through that, and it was the most terrifying feeling in the world. Like when you have a potential heart issue, or you're not sure what's going on, and you go get checked out, and you have to do other rounds of testing, and you're just sitting in the hospital. It's like, I mean, even when we went to visit your friend, and we were on the third floor, and it's like where, you know, a lot of people who are on their way out are stationed.
Yes.
We saw this one woman who just looked like her mouth was open and she was just staring at the ceiling.
She looked like she was decomposing in front of our eyes.
Yeah, she legitimately was. And it just puts into perspective, we all will end up in the hospital in that lighting, going through those hallways, having nurses. And you just don't think about that stuff when you're living life. But I mean, God bless all the nurses and doctors out there, because we really take them for granted. But you don't realize how much you need them until you need them. And then they are your saviors, literally.
That lifestyle is so difficult that it doesn't attract a lot of people into those careers. Like, even
I know a lot of women who take nursing as a career path, because it does seem like a good career path where you get a decent amount of flexibility. You only work 3 days, you get really good benefits, there's a pretty good career trajectory.
I guess I'm referring to it more as in the doctor route, because we know Kevin, which is Mickey's boyfriend, who is one of our good friends, and his work-life balance is non-existent.
He pretty much works 7 days a week, 6 days a week, every week, a lot of.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
weeks, 7 days a week.
And it's probably tough for him dating Mickey and seeing that, you know, her life is
the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's so much different than his, even though she's also still a nurse and works part-time as a nurse. But I can see, like, in his eyes, he's like, I'm in so much debt right now while, like, Mickey is making so much money. And I don't know. I don't think I could go with that lifestyle.
But it will pay off.
Yeah.
Like, right when he gets his first job, he'll be making really good money.
And I think then, it's like $400,000 or something like that, which yeah, is crazy.
That'll pay off all of his debt pretty much probably in 1 year.
Yeah. But in other news, that is better news, we're about to celebrate our 5-year anniversary on Sunday. Today is Monday. We put up this podcast in 1 day, mm-hmm, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, we whip it up, edit it, get it out.
Yes.
I like that it's kind of almost real time.
Speaking of our 5-year anniversary, I am currently wearing, what am I wearing, Matthew?
You're wearing, which is one of the questions, but you're, because we're going to do some Q&A about our relationship. And you're wearing your first outfit that you wore on our first date.
I am. It's so minus cute. The Converse. I don't have Converse anymore.
Was it Converse? I don't remember the shoes.
I was wearing Converse.
So cute. And you also had a sweater.
I did. I still have that sweater. You want me to grab it?
No, it's okay.
No.
I know
what sweater it is. This was what was underneath. This was me like being like, hi. Okay, well, I'll wear this for a little bit to like tease him and then I'll put the sweater on.
It's just so crazy that it's been 5 years. Like, I've never been in a relationship that long. That's half a decade.
I don't think I've been in a longer relationship either. I'm trying to think really hard. I don't think so.
And it's so coincidental that when we started dating, Travis Scott dropped Astroworld, hasn't put out any music, and then he just put out Utopia. So right when we first started dating till now, he hasn't released new music, and it's been 5 years. It's just a weird kind of coincidence.
Yeah.
Trending news.
I'm actually shocked he didn't have one song about what happened to Astroworld as like a little like memorial, like a I'm sorry, like anything. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like he really didn't take accountability for what he did.
Yeah.
And I understand that he could only take so much accountability,
right?
But there was no, like, I was kind of expecting like a song dedicated to the victims or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm sure he made music about it, but maybe it just didn't make the album. Because I'm sure when you're making music for that long, you make so many songs and then you kind of, you know, go through the process. Yeah,
but it doesn't matter if he never posts it.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't expecting him to make a song about the, like, a tribute to that, but I could see that.
I'm sure his lawyers were like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a good person, I would feel like at least say something, because this is like his biggest project after like the entire situation happened. But,
right.
I mean, that's just me like putting my opinions on him. Like, you know, yeah. I know nothing. Are we doing the questions?
Let's do the questions.
All right. So Matt put together some questions about our first date, our relationship. And so we're just going to answer them because it's a fun little anniversary segment for us.
Yeah. And so we'll both answer each questions, but we'll take turns starting who answers first.
Okay.
So the first one, you can start. Describe what I was wearing the day we first met.
Wow. It's so easy for you because you can literally look at it.
Well, I already knew what you wore.
I don't particularly remember. Okay. I think you were wearing some sort of jeans. Black?
Yes.
Black jeans. I remember you wearing Vans. Yes. And I think you were wearing a flannel.
Mm-mm.
A sweater?
No. I had this like black and gray t-shirt.
You still have it?
I don't know. I might have gotten rid of it.
I haven't gotten rid of any of my clothes except the Converse.
It was just kind of like a simple, lousy t-shirt. Maybe I still have it, but I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm not sure. But then I also had a jean jacket, which I still have.
Okay.
So I was wearing a jean jacket. I had a black and gray shirt, and then I had black jeans and then white Vans that had like a black, dark blue stripe on them. Like that was okay. The color of their thing. And for you, well, you're wearing pretty much what you wore on our first date.
Explain my sweater though. What does my sweater look like?
It's like multicolored. It's like red. It has like purple and yellow. Yeah.
It's not red.
It doesn't have red, but it has like purple and yellow and it's multicolored. It's like there's like a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's like striped or something. I know it's not
tie-dye. What kind of fabric?
I don't know the fabric. That's a good question. I mean, is it not like
t-shirt
cotton?
Material, cotton? Was it knitted?
It was knitted. It was kind of knitted. Yeah.
Okay. good.
Yeah, of course I remember.
What shoes?
Well, you already told me Converse, but I don't remember you wearing Converse. I'm trying to picture you in Converse. Oh, they were like the low white tops,
right? I used to wear Converse Converse.
Just a Converse gal.
I was just a Converse gal, and I high key, low key judge you for your Vans.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that.
We'll get into it in a second.
So the next question is, in detail, describe your honest first impression.
Your turn.
Okay. So I was like kind of nervous, obviously, just because I didn't go on too many dates from dating apps. Mm-hmm. And we met in such a quick way where within a week of even talking and barely having a full conversation, we just hopped into a date. So I'm like going into this with no expectation, but your pictures were very well put together. You were beautiful. And so I was sitting there waiting for you at the table and you walk up. And I remember my honest first impression was like, holy shit, this girl is beautiful. Like, you were more pretty than your pictures, which I wasn't sure if that was going to be the case because your photos are very edited. You wear makeup.
They're not edited.
They're edited. They're well put together. You're an influencer. So obviously you're good at making content like that. But I was blown away with your natural beauty. It was like, holy crap. And you just came from getting your hair done. You're smart. You timed it up very smart.
Oh yeah, I knew exactly what I was doing. Matt had literally asked me, so when are you free this week? And I go, only tomorrow, because I knew I was free every other fucking day. But what happened was I knew I was getting my hair done. And I was like, if the perfect time exists, it would be right after I got my hair done. And so I said, I'm only free tomorrow this week. And he said, okay.
Yes. And I remember when we first started talking, we ordered a drink, we ordered appetizers, and we just got into such good conversation that we both didn't even really drink, which that was a really great impression for me on you, because I think it's unattractive when people like overly drink to compensate for their discomfort. Mm-hmm. But my impression of you was I was like very intrigued with who you were, because I didn't really know what you did, but I knew you had a following and you just came like so beautiful. And then the second part of our date was, because it went well, you wanted to take me to UCLA, but also to get boba. So we had you had valeted your car and we went and picked it up. And it was like a Mercedes convertible. And you had just got it like a couple months before. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. This girl is
like. Were you like, I don't know if I can keep up?
No, I didn't feel that way. Okay. I was confident. I was like, all right, this is exactly what I want. So I was just like very impressed by you.
For me, I remember we had really great conversation, but I'm trying to think like my first impression about you was that I was driving. Okay, so like my hair had finished early and I was like, fuck, I don't want to show up to this date early. So I was sitting in my car texting like Alicia and Lauren and everyone. And I was like, I'm about to go on my first date. I'm a little nervous. I kind of don't want to go. I don't think I'm ready to start dating again. And I was gonna ditch you. Yeah.
I know.
I was gonna ditch you. And they actually talked me into, you know, following through and doing it. And so I like pull up to the restaurant. They don't have any parking. But while I'm like searching for parking, I see you walking. And I'm not gonna lie, I was not impressed by the outfit.
Okay.
Which is okay. It's okay. We looked past it, but you were wearing Vans. And like, to me, Vans is such a skater boy, e-boy type look, and I just at that time I was really into like prim, proper, like I don't know, like business casual clothes, just because my ex, that's what he wore, that's what I used to wear when I was like an intern at UCLA, like that's what a lot of the kids at UCLA wore, and I don't know, that's kind of what I was used to, like thermals and jeans, like not like graphic tees, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, like, you know what? Like, it's fine. Like, his outfits aren't that cute, but I know his face is really cute because I'd seen your Hinge profile. And when I saw you, I remember you had like a giant smile when I walked up to you, when I saw you at the restaurant, and I thought you were so cute. And like your smile, you looked happy to see me. And so we had a really great conversation. And I remember the first thing I thought about you was that it felt so easy. Like our conversations flowed so well. And I remember going into this date being like, okay, like don't give a shit, just be you, which sounds so stupid to say, but it really was like me being me and you being you, and we just melded together. And I was like, I'm gonna tell him everything, Because before I met you, I was like really shy to talk about like my family history or like my past or things like that. Because to me, I found it kind of embarrassing. But with you, I remember being so vulnerable and it being so easy. And you didn't judge me at all. So it was nice.
Yeah. Well, I think you said something too that isn't obvious, which is being yourself, especially on a date in around the sex that you're attracted to. Because I think so many people go into dates putting on sort of like a mask of who they think they should be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people spend so much time dating, because they're not really being themselves. And so you can kind of sense when someone isn't fully being authentic.
Oh, yeah.
So you really do have to make that conscious effort to be like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to whatever, like, fuck it. I'm going to just go with it. Mm-hmm. So it worked out.
It worked out. It really did.
Okay. What surprised you the most within the first couple weeks of dating? Good thing, something good, something bad,
or both? You're actually good at music? I was so shocked because, I mean, you kind of told me on our first date. I think before our first date, I don't think you really talked about like how you enjoyed making music and you produced your own music and stuff. So I remember on our first date, I was like, okay, well, I can't really like this guy until I hear his music, because I feel like he's not going to be good because he's white and he likes hip hop. And I'm not going to lie, I judged you for it.
It's okay.
And I feel like a lot of people judge people for that.
Yeah, you know? I get judged all the time when I tell people I rap and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm sure I know exactly how I think you sound in my head.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, like I can't really fall for this guy until I hear his music. And so I was really shocked when you played me your music for the first time. And I was like, holy shit, he's really good. Let me fall in love. And then I think I fell in love that day.
That's a
that
good
was
one.
Literally the opening to fall in love. I was like, okay, like the only thing that the only box he's not checking is that I don't know if his music is good. And if that's what he wants to dedicate his life to, I don't know if I can do it. But then you showed me before we went on our date. Then we went to the Griffith Observatory after you had shown me, and then I fell in love.
Oh, I know that story very well. What surprised me? I think it's probably like a handful of stuff. I think your career really surprised me more than anything, because okay. I didn't know that people like made money making content or being YouTubers or influencers or whatever you call them. So I think that was like the most surprising thing within the first couple weeks. When I went to your house for the first time, I'm like, damn, she's got her own like house. Like, that's crazy. You were only 26 at the time, 25. Mm-hmm. And to have your own house, even if you're just renting in LA, that's like not that common. You know, yeah. It's probably common for you amongst your peers, but it's not common outside of that bubble.
Yeah.
And all the brand trips, like on our third or fourth date, you invited me to go on like an Egyptian cruise for 10 days, which we didn't end up going because it was too much. Right away. But I think all those things like really surprised me. I was like, wow, I'm shocked. Like, this lifestyle is kind of wild.
So you were shocked about my job. Nothing about me.
I also was like surprised that you were very go with the flow. Like, after our first date, you hit me up like 2 days later to just invite me out of the blue, off the cuff, to go to one of your friend's shows. And that was probably the most surprising thing early on, where I was like, oh, like that's not really normal, I guess, for like a girl to kind of initiate that second date super quick, super casual. But it really set the tone and the pace for our relationship, where it's like, hey, I'm not playing games. Let's just go to this thing. I have an event or I have this show, like come with. Mm-hmm. And I was like really surprised by that. So I was really surprised by your confidence to kind of just be yourself and go with the flow and not play games, which is another thing I think people should try to adopt in their dating lifestyle, which is like so many people play games. You know, they try to calculate or try to play these moves. Like, am I responding too soon? Am I responding too late? It's just like, go with the flow. If you want to go see that person, like initiate it. It doesn't matter if it's the girl or the guy. What did you question most about me when we first started dating? I think I was trying to figure out like who you were like in the first couple weeks, because your lifestyle was so new to me. And it was so abnormal to be like taking content and vlogging and having a big following. And so I was like,
But I wasn't doing any of that in front of you.
You were vlogging, I think, within the first couple of weeks for sure around me. I mean, really? We went on a brand trip after 2 weeks. So yeah,
but I wasn't vlogging.
Like doing content, taking pictures. So I was like, what's real? What's not real? I don't know what I'm seeing on the internet. Like, is this really who you are? Or is this sort of like a front? Like it took me a little bit to kind of like figure that out. And it was more from my end, just having questions and it being new to me, where it was nothing you were doing, but I'm like, it was such a new lifestyle to be around that it made me like have to kind of like figure out like who you really were. Does that make sense?
Sure. If it makes sense to you, it makes sense, I'm sure.
Sure. What did you question the most about me when we first started dating?
You want the honest truth?
Yeah. That's the point of this.
I feel like when we were first dating, you were stressed about money a lot, which, I mean, for me, I wasn't stressed at 25 or 26 about money at all, right? Because I'd done really well on YouTube.
I'd done really well.
And I was okay with just like paying for stuff at the beginning. But, you know, like it took a minute for you to get like a steady job. You were doing a lot of like food videography and videography for like contract work. So it wasn't like super steady for you. But then you started working at the marketing job you have now. And that was like super steady. And that was maybe like within 3 months of us dating. So I only questioned the money thing for maybe the first month or two.
That's valid. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really
valid.
I don't
think I ever opened up really about it until there was
one day. I'm also not stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you were paying for things. I was also like, I paid for our first date. I never made it a thing.
No, you didn't. But it was like,
it was something you were questioning.
I knew that I had to take the responsibility if I wanted to do something really fun. Like if I wanted to go to Disneyland, I was never expected you to pay for it. Although you expected to pay for at least yourself. You like never thought. So like I would surprise you and just pay for it. But I did question it because it was like, okay, well, like it was almost like a hindrance to us because you weren't as down to do things because you didn't want me paying for it. But in my head, I was like, well, I have like so much money. Like I want to do these things and I don't care if I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays it's very even between the two of us. So like it's worked out just fine. But at the beginning, it was like a little like, it wasn't even about you making money. It was the fact that you felt so uncomfortable letting me pay for things that it affected how I felt about doing fun things. And I just wanted a boyfriend that was fucking down to do anything because my ex before had a 9-to-5 job. He only had 2 weeks off of work. He couldn't go with me on brand trips. He couldn't do anything with me. And I knew going into my next relationship, I was like, I want to date a guy that doesn't have a typical 9-to-5 so that I can do all the fun things that I haven't been able to do with my boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
You wanted it to be more compatible with your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way because I wasn't working a traditional job, never had worked a traditional. I worked side jobs, I worked part-time, but I was never working a 9-to-5 salary job where I had to request time off.
Until
like into our relationship, like 3 months into our relationship. But I remember with my previous relationship, it was the opposite. It was the same thing for you where I'm like, I'm at home making music, I'm going on these shoots, I can dictate my own schedule. I didn't want to like, it is really a hindrance when someone has such a structured life where
they can only have time on the weekend. You're
like, and then they're drained. And so that time is so valuable and it becomes like a bigger thing. And for you, it's just a normal day. But luckily with my job, especially at the beginning, I had a lot of leniency. We would be like, oh, on a trip, I would just like hit up Alex, my boss, and be like, hey, can I go to Canada next week or whatever. That was before I started the job. But like, hey, I'm going to Morocco at the end of the month. Like, I need 5 days off. And I was able to make the days off.
I love Alex so much.
Yeah.
We should go visit her. I want to see her.
I know. We need to. Well, you kind of already answered this, but what was the moment you fell in love with me?
When we were at Griffith Observatory watching the show and looking up at the dome.
And the star over, show or whatever
the
it was.
The star show. And I looked over at you and the stars were like beaming on your face and you just looked so happy. And then you looked over at me and I was like, I think I'm in love. So that was the moment. What about you?
Yeah, that was the same moment for
you
me.
You fell in love with me the same time I fell in love with you.
Yeah, we talked about this. I think I'm the first one to say that that's when I really fell in love with you. And I have it in my journal and stuff. But like,
by the way, we were not even official yet.
Yeah, we weren't official.
No.
But that was the moment I knew because we were sitting there and I think for me, what it was I was anxious to like show you my music. Wasn't sure like your reaction. I mean, I knew it was good, but we hadn't gotten to that level yet where I felt like you knew me mm-hmm. fully. And I remember when we went to Griffith, it was kind of like the first public place where we were like out around a lot of people. And I just remember, I'll never forget, you're like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I was like, all right. So you went to the bathroom. And then I just remember like standing around, like waiting for you. And then I was like, that's someone I'm with. It was like the first time that you kind of like left me, but you were like my responsibility. It was like the first moment of responsibility where I was like, what? Wait, I don't know how to explain it. Is that weird?
Yeah, it's very cute.
But I remember the way that it made me feel. It was like, oh, I care about you. Like I'm waiting for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it.
You were making sure I was okay.
Yeah, I was making sure you're okay. I'm like, this is the girl I'm waiting for. And it just made like really put into perspective like how much I really liked you. And then when I saw you, I'm like, yes. But then when we were sitting in the show and we were holding hands and it was like, we weren't even talking. I think that's what it was because it was a show and we were in pitch black staring up at this star thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were just like holding hands and I just had that crazy feeling where I'm like, I love this person. Like, this is nuts. Like, I just had that feeling, you know, like the butterflies, like the whole fucking
thing. How many
thing.
Days did we know each other before we fell in love? I'm trying to think, maybe 7-9 days.
Yeah. But I don't think that's abnormal when you are really being yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot of people time to figure out who and if they like someone because maybe they're not really revealing who they really are. So they're not sure if the person will receive them. But I think off the bat, both of us were like, let's put it on the table. This is our life story. This is what we want. This is where we've been. This is where we want to go. Does it work? Okay. And then boom.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
So I was very, you knew I just wanted to fuck you. On our first or second date, whatever. We've talked about this before. But I had known about my trip to Egypt for a little bit, maybe even before we officially met. And on our first date, I was like, I kind of think I want to ask him, but I barely knew you. But I just had like this feeling that we'd have a lot of fun together. And I, at this point, I was in my fuck girl. I just want to fuck, but you were like the only person I ever fucked after. And I was just in that like, I want to like fuck stage. I purposely had to be like, okay, I have to see him a few times before I ask him. So I knew we were going to see each other a lot before I officially asked you because I mean, I almost feel like I manipulated the situation to get you to like me and to like have a lot of dates. Like maybe you think I'm a lot more carefree and I was, but also like I knew from the beginning I wanted to ask you to go on a trip with me because I wanted to go on this trip and I was like, I have no one to go with, right? Because like all of my girlfriends at the time just like didn't like to travel that often. And I was like, I kind of want to do it with like a guy, like just like have fun with a guy for 10 days. And so but then we ended up falling in love. But I like that we fell in love with one another the same day. That's cute.
What was the moment you knew you wanted to marry me?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like when we fell in love, maybe it's like, I want to marry this guy.
I felt like we talked about it so much too. Like when we fell in love.
Yeah. In our first year of dating, we talked about babies and marriage like right away. So It was never a question. I felt like I always knew I wanted to marry you or start a family and life with you. I think I got scared though between our second and third year of our relationship because we kind of just all of a sudden stopped talking about that entirely. And I was like, what's going on? Like, why are we no longer talking about our future? And it made me really scared. And then we had a conversation about why that was happening. And then, you know, that things changed and we started talking about our future again. Mm-hmm. And then I got a ring.
You got a ring.
I got a ring.
I think, yeah, like falling in love with someone, like I had been in love before, but I wasn't in a place in my life where I was ready to take any next step. So I think the timing, I wouldn't have allowed myself to fall in love with someone I didn't want to marry at the age and the place I was mentally. Okay. So I think right away when we fell in love, I was like, this is the person I want to marry. Like I'm head over heels for this human. Mm. And I remember on our trip to Canada, I just remember like when we went fishing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just remember you were so down to like help with like unfishing the hooks and just like get your hands dirty. That it was another surprising thing that I loved about you where you were just so go with the flow. Yeah, I'll get my hands dirty. Maybe you were just trying to be cool because now you'd be like, I don't know. Just kidding.
Excuse me?
I'm kidding. No, you love to like push yourself. But I remember being like, wow, I want to marry this girl. Like, yes, absolutely.
Aw. Yeah, no, I feel
that
like
that was the fakest reaction I've ever heard.
I was literally thinking in my brain, like, I have fallen in love with a guy that I didn't want to marry. And I'm like, I'm trying to think about at this age, like, that couldn't happen anymore. Like, you can't fall in love and not want to marry. That's just like a waste of time.
Yeah.
At a certain age, it's like you fall in love to marry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was just thinking about what you were saying.
What is one thing you wish you could change about our first date?
Nothing. It was great. Maybe your outfit.
It wasn't that bad, by the way. It wasn't that impressive for sure.
It was not basic, impressive.
Simple outfit.
I guess if I look at this outfit, I'm like, it's not that impressive either. But
no, it looks hot though. Super hot. I think if I went on a first date now, I would have a way better outfit.
Yeah.
My style has been way better since knowing you. I'd probably change the first kiss.
Oh my God, I forgot about our terrible first kiss. What would you change about it? Your tongue slipping in?
No, I don't care about that. Maybe I wouldn't have led with tongue because I know how much you don't like that. But I think after the first kiss, because it wasn't that great, I probably would have like tried again.
Did we not kiss multiple times? It was just the one?
I think it was just like one kiss.
Like session?
One like mini session. And then we kind of were like flirty and then walked. And then that's when we left.
Yeah.
And then maybe there was like a peck when we like separated.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But I would change that. Like I would probably do like maybe a more steamy makeout session like on the way out or something, you know. But either way, I wouldn't change anything because it worked out so well.
It worked so well.
You know, made both of us want more, which is perfect.
Well, the kiss did not make us want more, but the day itself made us want more.
Yeah, totally.
Like I knew I wanted to invite you to my trip to Egypt on our first date.
That's so crazy.
But I was like, I need to like keep seeing him because I can't just fucking ask the guy.
So funny.
And it was like happening within like a week and a half of us knowing each other. So I was like, I can't just see him on the second date and ask him. Like, I have to like, we'd have to fuck. we'd have to progress somehow.
We gotta progress quick. That's so funny. You were pushing that along. What is one thing you wish you could change about the first year of our relationship? I don't know. It's tough because the one thing that I'm thinking about that I wish I could change would be, of course, my situation. Like,
I wish
I didn't live so far away in the valley. It was so tough for me, it felt like, because I was taking express Uber pools from my place in Sherman Oaks to Venice to work, then back to your place, then back to my place. And there'd be times where I'd go back to your place. And so I wish that if I could change anything, I wish that I had a car, but like I had to go through what I went through. So it's hard to say. I don't know if I would change anything.
What would that have changed about our relationship? I don't think it would have changed.
I would
anything.
Have more to offer. If I had a car, I feel like I would have been more
down to do stuff.
Maybe just down to do stuff, but also feeling more confident. Like I felt a little, I didn't feel like not confident, but I just didn't like that I didn't have a car to like go take you on a date, like a proper date. It was like, I wasn't able to really just like pick you up or like show up and then like take you, you know?
Yeah, but within the first year of us dating, you did get a car.
No, I know.
That March, yeah.
Yeah.
So like 6 months later. I know mine. I feel like I should have had a cleaner transition between John and you. Not to say that we overlapped in any way, but John was still in my life as a friend. Mm. And he actually had the keys to my house because we were sharing Zoe. And so my manager, who's not directly my manager, but she works at the same firm as my manager and like practically feels like my manager sometimes. She had a situation where her and her ex had been sharing their dog for like the last 5 years. Every 2 weeks they would switch on and off. Right. So I thought me being like, no, I can be friends with my ex. No, like John and I are such good friends. We can do this. We can have this like joint custody of freaking Zoe. And so there was a situation where I asked John not to come over. I didn't tell him why because I didn't feel the need to. I had to tell him I was dating anyone. But John came over when I asked him three separate times to not come over to drop off Zoe. And I feel like he purposely came over
to see what was up.
To see what was up because I wasn't telling him because I didn't feel the need. I needed to tell my ex anything about my new life. Right. So that I felt like hurt me a lot and probably didn't make you feel too hot in that situation.
I honestly felt with that I was just like respecting your relationship and I understand what it's like. And I was in a very similar situation where I wanted to be friends with my ex, but she had a hard time with it. And so I understood what it felt like to hurt someone. And so I was just trying to be as supportive and understanding as possible. Like, I didn't feel any type of way. I felt bad to be the person that probably appeared to be
the bad person,
like a bad guy. But if I was him, I'd be like, fuck that guy. You know, like he's the bad one. But it didn't really affect me that much, but it affected me because it affected you.
Yeah. And I feel like John was always such a nice guy. And by the way, I only date nice guys. Like, Matt's a very nice guy. And I feel like you guys could have had some sort of like friendly relationship or friendly friendship if I had been more honest and upfront with John, but I didn't even.
Here's what I'll say about that. I think it's not really. I think maybe you could have had the foresight to understand that dynamic, but I think genuinely you were able to have that friendship. It was just him who wasn't able to have the friendship. So you almost had to do more work to set the boundaries to protect him, but that's not your job, you know? But he was saying he wanted to be friends. He wanted to be in Zoe's life. He wanted to let you do your thing, but that actually wasn't true. As much as maybe he wanted to, he didn't, because he still wanted you back. He was still looking for that thing. He got upset at you when you did nothing wrong. You tried to make him not come over to drop off Zoe, and he literally, he walked in.
Yeah.
So it's like, you kind of have to know what you're doing if you're a guy going over to your ex's house who told you, hey, don't drop off the dog, I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
So I think he was seeking that, sadly.
Yeah, he was definitely seeking it.
But if he was in the same place as you, you guys would be able to have a relationship, and we would be able to have a relationship. But that's why it's so hard to be friends with exes, because it's usually one, or like, it's usually one person that's not able to, that causes the riff in it.
Yeah, and it's so sad, because to me, like, he was such a part. Not to talk about my ex.
I don't care. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me talk about it then.
Okay. Let me.
So like for me, like he was a large part of my adult life, right? At that moment when it was like 2018, because we met when I was 19, 20, and then we had dated on and off, you know, for like the first couple of years, and then had a real relationship for like 2.5-3 years. I wanted that friendship because I cared so much about his well-being and his mental health and his like, and I wanted nothing but the best for him. But it was really sad how things ended, because it ended with him looking at me as if I was the bad person, which I will gladly take if that makes him move on.
Yeah.
And feel better about himself. But I hate that I was the bad person in his story. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, you're a villain in someone else's story. Like, every single person on this earth is a villain in someone's story. But I just hate that, like, I'm the villain, or at least I was the villain in his story at one time. But I don't know how he feels now, because, like, we have no point of contact. So.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, the song that I wrote, True. It's, like, I literally say that. Like, I guess I'm the asshole.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one who...
How does it go again?
I don't even remember my own song. It's like, broke your heart in 7 ways. No, you see
better. Broke your heart in 7 ways. Now you're seeing better days. Everything you said about me is true.
I slowly fade away. So go and put your hate away. I'm better and it's true.
Yeah. Ho, 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 ho. Yeah. Either way.
But yeah, I mean, that's got to be tough from like 20 to 25, especially for your career and everything you were going through. When you have that person who's been there for that like really pivotal period in your life, they'll always hold a special place in your heart, you know? And I went through the exact same thing. Felt like we had a very parallel
relationship.
Like, our previous relationship was a long relationship. It was through the same period of our life. We kind of were figuring out who we were and what we wanted and really went after it, and felt like maybe our partners were holding us back and weren't at the potential of what we were seeking.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I wish nothing but the best for him. And he's like one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And I hope he's doing really well.
Yeah, same for my ex. It's sad. She blocked me on everything and Venmo and just like everything.
Blocked on Venmo too.
I mean, I wish that I could like, you know, have a relationship or be like, how are you doing? You know, but it's like, can't even have that. And I get it. Like, I respect.
Also, I wouldn't care even if you know, reached out to her now and being like, hey, I hope you're doing well. I feel
the
like
the only time I reached out to her twice since we broke up. And one of them was to just be like, hey, like, you wouldn't believe this. I'm at Halle Berry's house. and was like kind of telling her about some of my experiences in LA, and things were okay between us. Like, we were kind of keeping a little bit in point of contact. This is like right when I moved to LA.
Yeah.
And then she had like a hard time with seeing my stories and just my new life. And then I reached out to her a couple years ago when her mom passed, which was really sad, and she appreciated it and thanked me. And then that was pretty much it. But now she's married, and you know, it's so crazy. Like,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
It's wild. Yeah, she got married before us. Yeah. So good for her. I'm happy that good she's happy or found someone she wants to be with. That was like my biggest concern. I'm like, I just hope, and I know she'll find someone, but it's comforting and assuring knowing that she's happy and with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel comfortable moving on until I knew that like my ex was okay moving on. But that's just because we care about I feel like it's a very empathetic thing to feel. Yeah.
Totally. We got a few more questions. We should probably do these kind of quick. This is a good one. What is one memory you wish you could relive from our relationship? I could think of a time.
Okay, you go first then.
Our Canada trip when we first started dating. I would love to relive that, those new feelings, like all those new experiences. By the way, that was the best brand trip I've been on.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I would want to relive that for
sure. I would 100% would want to relive like the first few months of our relationship before our first fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our first fight just changed a lot of things. Minus the John situation. I'd delete that out and then relive everything else.
Okay, what was the biggest doubt you had about me?
Biggest doubt? I didn't have a lot of doubts about us.
Yeah, I didn't either. What attracted to you most about me when we first started dating / met?
Your face.
Okay, yeah, same.
Sorry. You want me to be shallow? I will be shallow. No, it's okay. It's your fucking dimples. And that's the jawline hilarious. And the nose. I used to do this. If you guys are seeing on video, I used to do this to Matt, which meant I was staring at his nose and he'd just like laugh at me all the time. And I'd be like, Matt has like the straightest fucking nose you'll ever see on one a man. Side.
Anyways.
What do you mean? Let me see both sides.
There's like one side that is like.
Okay. Straighter. Yeah. That side's a tiny bit straighter.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing that one side is straighter than the what did you tell your friends about me after our first date?
I don't know.
Especially because you were nervous about it. So I'm sure you had a follow up. Like, girls go crazy about that shit.
I don't remember what I said to them. I think I said I had a good date. We kissed.
Because I know they're like, bitch, tell me what happened.
Oh my fucking God. Did he kiss you? Did he slip his hands underneath you? No. I don't remember. I think I just probably said, like, we had a really good date. I liked him.
That is the most generic, bland thing.
All right, do you remember? All right, you go first.
I remember telling Mario, like, when I got home and we were on the couch, I was like, wow, I just had like a really epic date.
Really?
Like, I'm like, I'm not really sure how I feel about this girl, but we just had so much fun.
What do you mean you don't know how you feel about me?
Well, remember we kissed and there wasn't like any sparks or anything, which was a little confusing. Like, there wasn't like that sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
But we had fun. We were flirty. We learned a lot about each other. And it was so new and refreshing because there was no games. It happened so quick. I was like, I just met someone really cool. Like, it was so exciting. So I was just kind of like filling him in about that.
I think for me, because, you know, I'm not the greatest texter. So I think I might have just given like a very generic, and I can probably look it up. Like, it was really fun. I really like him. But unless I see my friends in person, I don't have those types of conversations with them.
I know your friends were prodding with questions like, whatever.
Well, I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't that impressed after our first kiss.
Apparently. What did your friends say about me after they met me?
Oh, they really liked you. They thought you were super, super nice. Yeah.
Yeah, same. They're like, oh my God, Tiffany, she's so cute. She's so nice.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember people were like, you guys are like, I've never seen two people like in love. It's like infectious, the way that you guys are in love. I remember Jennifer and Celeste, like when they met you for the first time, they're like, you guys are like...
so happy.
Yeah, so happy.
I would say after the Tarte, because I think you met a lot more of my friends at the Tarte. What when was it that you met my friends? Do you remember? Was it the Tarte event?
Was the Tarte event time? Was the time I met like Adeline and Andre
and Sierra and all of them.
And then I remember when we went to Lauren's and she was dating Alex at the time and we went over there for the first like YouTube boxing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like tons of people there. There was like 20 people.
I would say that for sure after the Tarte thing, I remember Andre texting me being like, oh my God, I really like Matt. Super nice. Wow, you guys look so good together. I remember that was like a common thing, was that people were saying like, you guys look so cute together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they've never said anything negative about you to me ever. So
what is like your favorite green flag about me?
My favorite green flag about you? Sorry. thing. You have so many good green flags.
Something that like benefits our relationship for like the long term, maybe.
What's like, what's a green flag? I think to me, like, I love how much you take care of me and how much you put an effort in our relationship and our dogs. So I think that's a green flag.
Mm-hmm. I would say mine is like your support when it comes to my career. I think that's like a really important thing for me that I felt like I didn't have in my last relationship, but mm-hmm. someone that was going to give me the space or the understanding like, hey, I need to work, or hey, like, I totally get it.
Yeah. I feel like I never get in the way of you working. It's like, you want to work?
Okay, well, you do, because we enjoy spending so much time together where it's like, yeah, that gets in the way.
All right, guys. Well, that is everything. Happy 5-year anniversary on Sunday, baby.
I can't believe it. 5 years.
Yeah. It's weird.
Why is it weird?
5 years is a long time.
Wait, I want to figure out how many days that is. One sec. 5 times 365. 1,800 days together.
Jesus Christ, it's one too many. All right, I love you.
I love you too.
If you guys haven't yet, make sure to subscribe. Give us those 5 stars, baby. And leave us a freaking comment. Let us know, what is your longest relationship you've ever had? I'm genuinely curious. It could be 2 days or it could be
never.
2 decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know. All right, well, that's it. Happy Rotten Podcast Day. I don't even know what is going on.
Oh, you're hilarious.
We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Bye, guys.
See you next Tuesday. Bye, guys.